Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello, this is Jimmy and Kim. We're looking for Don Dokken.
Jimmy and Kim, this is Don Dokken.
Hey, Don, how are you?
Hanging in there.
Yeah? Hello? Doing all right? We're doing pretty well.
Just got off the road, and I'm looking out my windows and looking at all the smoke.
Where are you held up?
I'm in New Mexico.
New Mexico.
I'm seeing the smoke all the way from the California fires.
Really?
Oh, wow.
It's coming all the way out there, huh?
Yeah, in Colorado. We had some here. The other night, when I flew back to Milwaukee, I could, landing on the plane, I could look up in the mountains, and there was a huge fire, you know, up in Tuseque area and stuff.
Wow. Are you in any danger of the fires reaching up where you are?
No, I don't think so. Our home is like about 9,000 feet, and last year I spent the summer with a chainsaw walking around the whole, well, not all of it, but we have like 13 acres.
And trying to clear out.
I walked around the property with my chainsaw and went nuts and trimmed all the trees, you know, loaded the ground so you don't get a brush fire.
Yeah.
Cut them.
Wow, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, it took a long time because people live in the mountains, you're supposed to cut all your branches 4 feet down, you know, so, and trim the trees, and it's a labor intensive.
Yeah, I can imagine. We're looking at the releases Friday, right? The embargo on our side is up at 10 a.m. for the lost songs.
Yep, I guess so. the 28th, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. So with the embargo up at 10, obviously you released two singles already, and the rest of them is all never before heard?
It's all stuff that I never released.
Wow. You know what's interesting about it is as bands go forward and you kind of hear their sound evolve and they get closer to, they get more comfortable and it's more their sound. And then at some point, some of them cross the threshold to where they turn into something that sounds different. It doesn't always sound like the band that you know, but with this being a prequel almost to Dokken, it's like its signature. It's the raw. It's the raw deal.
It's definitely raw and, you know, and straight ahead. And there's a cool ballad on there, kind of reminiscent of Alone Again. And it's definitely a window into my brain, I guess you say. It was where my head was at, being in my early 20s, starting to write songs. And definitely sounds like Dokken.
And you said the ballad is, that would be Day After Day?
Yeah.
From what I gather?
I was laughing, yeah, about that song because I recorded that in Hamburg, Germany in 1979 with Michael Wagner.
Wow.
And, you know, back in the days, you know, AOR was more a little open. You know, songs could be long, like Free Bird, you know, that went on for 10
right.
minutes,
yeah.
You know. And they don't do that anymore. Everybody wants their songs to have to be, you know, 3 minutes, 50 seconds.
Yeah.
So when I mixed Day After Day my guitar solo, I was kind of chuckling because it goes on forever. You know, and I'm like, wow, that is one long solo, you know. And I asked, told the record company, I said, you want me to cut that, you know, and put an edit in it? He goes, no, it is what it is.
Yeah.
That's awesome
absolutely.
That they were like that,
yeah,
though.
Let them do that. I know I was just editing some new music right before I called you, and there was a song that was, you know, 4.5 minutes long, and I thought, oh, wow, a long one.
It's a long one, yeah. I remember, you know, if you think about these bands, like, you know, the Zeppelin and, gosh, even, you know, the Beatles, and they had a lot of long songs, but there were no, you know, really restrictions back then on what they called late night radio. In L.A., you know, we had our rock stations, and we'd literally pick a single, and we'd have to cut it. It used to drive me crazy. It's kind of like you compose a piece of art, a piece of music that you love, and now they're telling you to whack out, you know, a minute of it. And I'm like,
right.
I'd always be sarcastic and say, it's like that old movie, you know, about Mozart, and the king tells him, you know, take some of the parts out, you know, and then Mozart says, and which parts would you like me to take out, Your Highness? Like, what part of the song would you like me to cut?
Like, which part of my child. Would you like me to hack off of his body?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I always think about that when I saw that movie when the king tells him, it's just got too many notes.
I'm looking.
Mozart goes, so which notes would you like me to get rid of?
I'm looking at the cover art for the Lost Years, and it's pretty sick, man.
Yeah, famous artist. Dang it, what's his name?
He's yeah.
a famous artist, Nero.
Yeah, I had it. I think I had it on a different piece of paper. But yeah, he's done some other sleeve arts. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Well-known artist.
Yeah, and then I watched the videos, which is interesting. The Step Into the Light video is almost like a photo album, right?
Yeah, it's like my childhood.
Yeah.
They asked me, you know, do you have any pictures of you, you know, back in those days when you're, you know, making these songs and your first trip to Germany and your second trip to Germany and when you went to Germany in 1981 to sing some background vocals on the Scorpions album. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I actually had collected all these photos of my career and put them all into one big tub. And, I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of personal photos. I organized them over a long period of time. And the damn thing went MIA when I was cleaning the garage. One of the idiots grabbed that tub and threw it out. So I didn't have any photos. So I just started calling up my friends and people and old girlfriends that used to come to the Whiskey and see us and take pictures of us. And I say, do you have any photos? And all these people started sending me these photos of me, like sitting in backstage, you know, in Hamburg and sitting, or me playing live on stage in 1978, you know, at Starwood. And so we just figured we'd make a montage of all the pictures of me during that time period when I wrote these songs. But I say the prequel to George, Jeff, and McDavid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's incredible. So all the photos that we're seeing come out with this are all basically submitted by other people close to you and fans?
Yeah, just friends.
Wow, that's wild.
I found some, you know, like,
amazing.
You know, the mother of my kids had some photos, and, you know, and my friends had photos. And Juan Crucier was in the band before we went with Rat. He had some photos of us in Germany, and just all those photos on that video, Step Into the Light, are all taken, you know, back in the day when I was basically playing the club scene, playing with the Van Halen at the Whiskey.
Yeah.
I saw a couple. It was good for me, memory lane, because I'm like, where did this picture come from? I'm looking behind my head. I'm laying on the couch with a big smile. My look all sweaty, so looks like I just got off stage, and I noticed behind me on the wall there's these posters, and it's all in German. So I'm like, well, it's obviously Germany.
Yeah. And I should point out the sleeve artist, his name is Tokyo Hero. He's done Motorhead and Motley Crue. Yeah, a great job on the cover art. And then the video for No Answer is funny because it's like this really 80s, this retro. All the font is super 80s. It's got like a Miami Vice type feel. That's funny.
Yeah, we're just having fun with this, and we thought, and our record company thought that for the, I don't know, we have a lot of fans out there, and we thought this would be a great window into where my head was at, you know, before I got famous and before we were playing arenas and stadiums, and, you know, I was just playing clubs for 50 people if I was lucky, and these were just songs that I would sneak in the middle of the night. And, you know, they let you record for free, as they called it, on downtime.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd go in it maybe sometimes at 3 in the morning after playing a gig, and we'd all grab our gear and run to the studio until like 7 in the morning before the next band came in. And that's how we did those demos. And how they ended up in my garage, I have no clue.
Well, we're happy they did. I was reading also that a few of these songs on the Lost Songs were written pretty much because you didn't have enough songs to play a full set list, to play a full show.
Right. We didn't have, you know, We only had six songs or seven, but we're supposed to play an hour and a half. So, you know, back in those days, I remember playing with Van Halen. One night we were playing with Van Halen at the Whiskey, and we only had like five or six songs. We didn't have enough. So we did covers. I remember, I think I did Highway Star by Deep Purple.
Nice.
Excellent.
I did a Kroka song. I think we did Whipping Post. You know?
That's awesome.
Whipping Post? That thing's about 10 minutes long. You know? I said, you know, let's just work up Whipping Post. And by the Allman Brothers, and that goes on forever. That'll kill some time.
Yeah, man. That's my favorite Allman Brothers song. I'd actually love to hear that cover.
Yeah. We did a lot of covers, and plus I'm a Beatles freak.
Yeah.
And I really still am, you know, love the 60s when I was growing up. You know, my influence when I was 12 and 13 and 14. And that's why almost every Dokken record, people say, you always put a cover on your record, and they're always like some obscure song. And I say, well, no, really, they're not obscure. They're just songs that came out in the 60s that you just don't know about.
Yeah, they're obscure to you.
They're obscure to everybody, but not...
Yeah, they're thinking like, what's all these obscure songs? I go, not to me it isn't.
Right.
I listen to it 10 times a day, you know? And I'm just trying to kind of, I guess you could say, pay it forward. Turn people onto songs that I was listening to. I mean, mm-hmm. I still remember the first record I ever bought. It was called Fresh Cream. Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
And Ginger Baker and all that. And, you know, now two of those guys have passed away.
Right.
And I remember my first record was Fresh Cream. I heard Eric Clapton, and he just blew my mind. And my second record I ever bought was Jimi Hendrix. And nice. That blew my mind. So, yeah. You know. But, you know, the new generation, it's you just click on YouTube or anywhere you want to click, and there's a lot of, you know, tons of music out there.
Yeah.
But I like the classics, you know, and I still listen to those songs now and say, genius, you know.
Yeah. No, yeah. That is by far, I think, far and away the era, the Godfather era of rock and roll. Just like you, Dokken, I should say, are kind of the trailblazer, one of the trailblazers for the hair metal generation. And we're affiliates with the House of Hair and Dee Snider, so we're Dokken fans around here.
Oh, great. Yeah, I mean, it was a different time, and, you know, and I personally think that when songs were written, you know, way back, it was mostly from inspiration, and bands were inspired, and nowadays you got digital, and you got Pro Tools and drum machines,
yeah.
And, you know, they whip out, you know, five songs a day, but back in the day, you know, when you wrote a hit song, it usually came from your soul or from the cosmic universe.
Mm-hmm.
You got inspired and wrote, you know, a song that just came from somewhere you didn't even know where it came from. And that doesn't seem to be so much the case now when you got American Idol and all
right.
These people singing, but they're just singing songs that are not theirs.
Yeah.
They're already hits.
Yeah. Well said.
I'm not cool with that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few. It's rare, but there are a few guys who are still doing it the right way, I think. You got your Corey Taylors and your Dave Grohls in the world.
Oh, yeah, Dave Grohl. Jesus, that guy is a genius, you know? I mean, everything he writes, I'm like, damn, dig it, dig it, dig it, you know?
yeah, we agree on that.
We're pretty big Dave Grohl fans around here, too.
So,
yeah, and Taylor. Those are people that I think are still tapped in to that source in the universe, as I call it. I'm not trying to get wooey, but
no, yeah,
you know, I would say all the hits that I've written, of all the hundreds of songs I've recorded, most of the ones that were really popular, they just came to me very suddenly, and I'd just be like grabbing a pencil and paper and grabbing my guitar, which I'd always have a couple laying around the house, and trying to get it onto a recorder, you know, before it went away.
While it's spilling out.
And I'm like, well, how'd that go again? Oh, I had it in my head, damn it, you know?
Yeah.
Those are the ones that wake you up in the middle of the night to make you write the song down?
You know what? You're totally right about that. And I always say, how come all my best songs were written at 3 o'clock in the morning when I was teen?